So also in the news this week, researchers here in Cambridge have created mammalian stem cells that only contain a single set of chromosomes. Now, most mammalian cells are diploid. They contain two copies of each chromosome. And this is a complication for cell biologists and geneticists hoping to study the function of individual genes. So joining us now to discuss this work is Dr. Anton Woods. Hello.
Good evening and thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. Good to have you here. Can you start off then with why would haploid mammalian cells be useful?
As I just said, basically normal animal cells are basically diploid, meaning they have two chromosomes, one from the father and one from the mother. So basically for each gene, there are two copies present in a cell. And basically the genome contains all the information that is needed for an organism to develop. And scientists have already obtained the sequence of all of those genes. However, we have to still figure out how these genes interact and what their overall contribution to development is. In that sense, what has proven very fruitful is just to look what happens if you sort of you lose the function of a particular gene and look what basically what effect it does have on development. If you're now trying to mutate genes in a diploid cell, it's very hard to hit both copies of the very same gene. And for this reason, it's very hard to determine then what the loss of this gene has a consequence for the cell. In haploid cells, you have only a single chromosome set, and hence if you introduce a particular mutation, automatically gene function is sort of ablated and you can study the resulting effect.
I see. So rather than having pairs, just by having this one chromosome with the gene that you want to study, it sort of cuts out that extra factor of uncertainty.
Yeah, basically the genome has sort of a backup copy and that's lacking in the haploid case.
I see. So how have you gone about creating these haploid cells?
Basically, it has been long known that in mammals, you can activate the egg cells or the oocyte and sort of trick it into thinking it is fertilized without actually supplying a paternal genome via the sperm, which would be introduced during normal fertilization. So by chemical manipulation, you can activate an egg cell and it will divide and form an embryo with just the maternal chromosome set. And we have taken these embryos now and removed a small cell clump, basically from the blastocyst stage, and brought this into culture conditions, which have been highly optimized over the recent years by a number of groups. And this has allowed us sort of to induce proliferation in these haploid embryonic cells in culture and allowed us sort of to maintain a permanently proliferative, so growing cell line in culture.
Have you put them into anything living?
The cell that we cultivated is referred to as an embryonic stem cell, and conventional diploid embryonic stem cells have the ability to form basically all cell types of the embryo, of the mouse embryo. So we were very interested what is actually the potential of sort of a haploid embryonic stem cell. So we have introduced basically our stem cells back into the blastocyst of mice and looked if they can contribute to development. And to a large degree, they do so. So they can contribute the multiple organs and form different cell types in the embryo. However, we noticed that when they enter basically development and sort of differentiate into functional cell types, they diploidize. So basically their genome content becomes more normal.
They end up with pairs of chromosomes rather than the single ones. Why do you think that is, that they revert back to that state?
We're not particularly clear on this, but one thought is that in mammals, normally in female mammals, one of the two X chromosomes becomes inactivated, and that's to compensate for the dosage to sort of the male genome equivalent, which has only a single X chromosome, but also a Y chromosome. And so one idea is that basically these cells would be not balanced. So the normal developmental program is optimized for one active X chromosome and two sets of autosomes. However, in our haploid case, we have a single X chromosome opposed to a single set of autosomes. So basically the X chromosome dosage is too high by a factor of two. And so we think that by sort of duplicating the maternal chromosome set, these cells can now inactivate one of the two X chromosomes again and sort of have a more normal gene expression pattern for development.
I see. So you can actually get cells acting sort of fairly normally even within this haploid state. But could this actually shed light on another area of genetics, on epigenetics?
Oh, indeed. The possibilities with the haploid cells would be now sort of to investigate different pathways. This can range from cell signaling and metabolic pathways. But also, of course, interest in my group is geared towards epigenetic pathways, sort of gene regulatory pathways that act in development. And I think we can tweak those cells by deriving a suitable reporter constructs into situations so that we can select for epigenetic mutations and sort of study how these processes are regulated, particularly in mammals.
So this could really open a whole new field up in genetics. That's fantastic. Well, thanks, Anton. That's Anton Wutz from Cambridge University. And that work was published in the journal Nature this week. Dave.